This is your Right to Rock announcer, Joey Claims, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to another Genghis and Ragman Show interview, where the boys chew the fat with both veterans and newcomers in the industry. So without further ado, I'm going to pour me a pint and kick back as I turn things over to tonight's guest. Take it away.
This is Marco Reed from 21 Octane, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up.
Ragman with a newcomer, a great new band, 21 Octane guitarist Marco Vriet. Give it up, people. Hey, Marco, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. It's great to be on your show. It's a pleasure, yeah.
Oh, it's awesome to have you. I have absolutely fallen in love with your latest release, 2.0. What a great record. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Let me, for folks that aren't real familiar with you, because to be honest, I just discovered you on 2.0.
Yeah.
And how does this differ from your first release?
Yeah, I think our debut record, Into the Open, you know, we wanted to combine, you know, classic rock type of music with progressive elements on the debut record. And so the elements you can find on 2.0, you know, they were already there on our debut record, Into the Open. But the new one, 2.0, is even more diverse. So the progressive elements, you know, like Take Me Away and The Tale of a Broken Child, you know, those kind of influences, they were already there on our debut record, but not, you know, like in this amount, you know. And so we kind of elevated the whole experience, so the more rock mainstream stuff like When You Go or Take Me Back, you know, it's very, you know, hooky and catchy. And on the other hand, you've got the more progressive style, like you know, as mentioned before, Take Me Away and Tale of a Broken Child. So it's more of everything on 2.0. So that's what I can say. That's why we're going for the title 2.0, because it's like an update from the first record.
So, would you say basically the first record was a bit more on the progressive side and not as much on the melodic rock side as the new record?
Yeah, I think the first one is a little bit more on the classic melodic rock side. You know, the new one, yeah, it's hard to tell you, actually. I think you have to listen to the record, but I mean, all elements, you know, were already there, but you know, we wanted to push the extremes. I think that's a good thing. We wanted to push the extremes a little bit more. You know, we wanted to be more progressive this time, but on the other hand, we wanted to be more catchy. So I think the second record is even more diverse than the first one, but all the elements are, you know, already on the debut record.
Well, I got to say, 2.0 is a very mixed bag, and that's why I love the record. It's got a nice variety to it. And
yeah.
I got to tell you, to me, I guess one of the more progressive songs, and I think you just mentioned it, was Tale of a Broken Child.
Yeah.
And that ends the record, and it kind of blew me away when I heard it. I was like, holy crap, they're getting pretty proggy here. That's awesome, man. Yeah. I'm digging this.
Still a spark of hope in her eyes.
Progressive rock and metal fans, you know, like the classic bands, Yes, Genesis, Pink Floyd, and the more progressive metal bands like Dream Theater and Symphony X, Fate's Warning. You know, it's definitely in our DNA. And you know, our singer Hagen, he is more into the classic rock, and even you know some pop stuff like Bryan Adams or Def Leppard, Whitesnake. Aerosmith, of course. I mean, he was the lead singer in Joe Perry's Project. But you know, that's what this band is all about. You know, we like to mix it up a little bit and try to avoid cliches. You know, where you know these days records, you know, they're not, most of them are not very diverse anymore. You know, so you have 10 songs, and they're more or less sound all the same, you know. But you know, we wanted to do it, you know, in a different way. We wanted to really celebrate our diversity, and you know, that's what this album is all about. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, probably my favorite song on the record is "When You Go," and I do my best Hagen when I can in the car, and no one's listening, of course. But to that. To me, and I just want to throw this out there. To me, that one's kind of got a little bit of a Whitesnake feel.
Yeah.
At least how he's kind of got a Coverdale edge to his voice. Yeah. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with a band called Harum Scarum.
Of course.
It's like a mix between Whitesnake and Harum Scarum, and that's what I mentioned in the review. And I love that because Harum Scarum kind of delved off into that progressive vibe and voice of reason.
Yeah, that's true.
It kind of reminds me of that. How does a song like that come together for you guys?
I see it in your eyes, the truth you try to fight. I know it's time for you to fly. Before the signs you show, I feel it's time to let you go. But I know that it's hard to say goodbye. Oh, but please, now that you leave me, baby, don't cry, don't turn around, just grab me one last leave away. Oh, when you leave.
Well, thank you very much, you know, for the kind words. When you go, the whole music, you know, I worked on it in my, you know, music room at home. You know, when I had a coffee, you know, just, you know, one afternoon, a couple of, I think it was 1.5 years ago, actually. And when I, you know, fooled around a little bit on the guitar, and all of a sudden, there was the melody. And, you know, I recorded it, and, you know, we were meeting up for a songwriting session in Southwest Germany, and I played it to the guys, and they loved it. So we worked on it, we arranged it. Alex, our drummer, he's very good at arranging stuff. You know, he is very good at telling me, okay, we do one more bar in that part, and we do a little bit less in that part. So this song musically was pretty much done in 1.5 hours or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very quick. And, you know, we love that kind of, you know, every one of us, we love that kind of mainstream American rock approach. You know, it's definitely in our DNA. You know, I mean, we're Europeans, but this kind of American rock, you know, like Whitesnake and Harum Scarum, you mentioned it, you know, I mean, Winger, you know, those bands are, you know, definitely a part of our musical upbringing. And you know, Hagen, you know, being a big Aerosmith fan and a Whitesnake fan, you know, he, you know, we recorded the demo, just the music, and he took it home, and after I think it was like 1.5 months or something, he, you know, he sent us his ideas about the vocals and stuff, and it was perfect. I mean, the song was there right away, and we didn't have to change anything. He nailed it. I mean, the song title was When You Go, and he said that's the lyrics, and you know, these are the melodies. And when we listened to it, you know, it was perfect. He delivered, I mean, 100%, and it's so catchy. And I mean, I don't know if you have seen the video of the song. It's a pretty sweet video. Yeah, I mean, it got together very quickly, I have to say. Yeah.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting? And yes, I have seen the video. Very cool, yeah. By the way. the song, some of the best songs come quicker than some of the songs that take 2 or 3 days or months or years to write.
It's true.
You know, and that one, just from the get-go, I just kept hitting the rewind button on the CD player, and like, I gotta hear it again. I mean,
that's great.
Until I could sing along with the chorus, because it's so darn catchy. It sticks in your head for days.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've spent a lot of time when I was 19 or 20 years old in the States, in California, and in Texas. So when I went to Starbucks at the universities, I, you know, I listened to a lot of college radio, college American radio. And it's funny enough that some American fans of ours, they now, you know, they are telling us, you know, this is a song we want to hear on the radio. And the funny thing is, it fits so well to American culture, you know, that song When You Go. It's you know, I can't wait to play there and to play, you know, a song like that in front of an American audience, because it fits so well. And on our debut record, we had a song called The Heart Saved Me, and that was getting very heavy video rotation in hotel chains like the Hilton and the Hyatts and stuff. So when you went to the lobby, the video was right there. So it was all over the States, actually, and all the Hard Rock cafes. So that's when we started to get a little bit of, you know, attention in the U.S. So that was with 2.0, we wanted to really deliver an American kind of melodic rock song. And Lucky Love, you know, we had the ideas, and Hagen delivered it, you know, a great lyric and great vocal melody. So yeah, very nice. We're very happy with that song.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. You know, another track that could definitely be a huge hit if it got the proper rotation in airplay was probably Lost. It's a great power ballad thing. Yeah. Coming from the more of a progressive record that you did on the first one, going to this one, doing more variety and stuff, and you guys have the roots of, you know, kind of the classic 80s sound mixed with, you know, the more modern sound of today. Yeah. You know, when you sit down and write a power ballad like Lost, you know, what's the process? Is it tough to write a song like that, or does it come pretty easily, kind of like When You Go To?
Similar. We always, you know, meet up, and we're sitting in the rehearsal room, and we have a nice little studio. You know, Hagen, you know, when he got home from the Joe Perry tour, he could build it, and he did, and that's where we always meet. You know, when we collect songs, and you know, we were sitting around, and then all of a sudden, there was this da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you know, it was just there, and you know, we were looking at each other, and then we said, okay, enough coffee for now, let's start working, because we love coffee. and then we, again, it was pretty similar to When You Go. We just started jamming, and again, Alex, you know, he had this great groove, and then we said, okay, let's keep it simple in the verse, because, you know, it had to breathe, you know, because the lyrics had to lead the tempo and the DNA of the song. So, you know, Hagen is, you know, he is delivering such a great bluesy kind of feeling. And, you know, that's what we wanted with that song. And on the other hand, we wanted to have a big, epic chorus when, you know, that's what we love also. And again, we finished the music. It was all pretty much done in 2 hours. And then again, Hagen took it with him. And I think after 3 months on that one, he, you know, he said, okay, I have a couple of ideas, but the song is called Lost. And, you know, these are the lyrics. And when we were listening to it, yeah, I have to say that Lost is probably my favorite song on the record. We played it live a couple of times now here in Europe. And especially, yeah, girls and women, they love it. They sing along pretty loud, I have to say, and I love it. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great, really good, catchy tune. You know, another track, and it starts the record, Devil in Disguise. That one, to me, kind of had a Dokken feel to it, like the Back to the Attack days of Dokken. It had that aggression and just a really good, kind of heavier, melodic-type track. How did that track come together for you?
That was the first one we were writing for 2.0, where I think it was August 2014. Our debut record, you know, just came out. I think our debut came out in May 2014. So we directly went into the rehearsal room and we started, you know, collecting ideas. And that was the first riff I came up with for the whole record. And it was pretty much done in 20 minutes or maybe 30 minutes.
Wow.
And it was like, just okay, let's crank up the amp, and you know, it was just there. It was like that, and Alex was playing with me, and then Hagen, you know, took the bass, and Andrew took the bass when he was still in the band, and then we were just jamming together, and then it was pretty clear. Okay, that's the bridge, and that's the verse, and then the bridge, and then the chorus. And the funny thing is, when we recorded the demo, you know, we're jamming, you know, like all the bands, the classic bands did, you know, 30, 40 years ago. We don't send MP3 files to each other, and, you know, and somebody is mixing it and putting it all together, and there you have the album. It's much more done in the old school way of really creating something unique, hopefully unique, together as a team in one room with real amps, real drums, and not, you know, many bands do these days, you're just, you know, with their computers. So a song like Devil in Disguise, I think, sounds so pure and energetic because we play it, we arrange it live in a rehearsal room situation. So that's why we're recording, you know, old school demos, just, you know, that everybody knows, you know, how the song goes. And in the middle part, we lost it, and I think it was Alex who didn't know how to continue, because, you know, we were writing so fast, and there was just one part he forgot. So this hole in the middle of the song is a part from the actual recording session of Devil in Disguise. And we thought it would be so cool to leave it on the record, because this is like the real element of songwriting. And, you know, in this digital time, and it's, you know, those real emotions, they are, you know, are getting less and less attention on records. So we said, okay, let's put it on the record, and people can see how we write the songs, and how it all got together in the first place. So that's why there's the hole in the middle. It's a very funny story.
That's awesome. You know, because I think, and there's a lot of bands out there that do the file sharing, like you said, but I'm kind of an old school guy, and I think it comes out a lot more organic.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the same room jamming like they were. That's, you know, there's great music still coming out today, but I think some of the better music that is getting out today is when everybody's together rather than
that's in
separate countries or states or what have you.
Yeah. That's, I think that's a major problem in these times when you have many projects, and you know, there are still some great songs here and there, but you know, if you have one guy in California writing with some guy in Paris, and he's sending, you know, the tracks to one guy in Sweden, and then this guy is sending all the tracks to Portugal, and of course it can work out great as projects, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, no problem. But a real band, you know, a real band like Zeppelin, or you know, like you said, Dokken or Deep Purple or Pink Floyd or whatever, you know, it would have never worked out like that. You know, they were sitting in a room, they were jamming, they were creating, and you know, that's where you can get the best out of anybody in that room, and to say, okay, what do you think about changing that chord, or what do you think about changing that rhythm pattern? And this is, you know, it's all about, you know, all about the joy of playing music, you know, together in one room. And just, I think it's still the best feeling you can get as a musician.
Oh, yeah. And it pays off, especially when you have a great product like 2.0. That's for sure.
Thank you, sir.
The album's been out for a little over a month now.
Yes.
What kind of reaction have you got? We give horns up on our side. I gave you a 4 horns up, which is the ultimate rating.
Oh, I think I saw your review. I remember that.
Oh,
I remember when you said Aaron Scam, because I made the other guys in the band, they call me a review obsessed, because when we release a record on, and the labels, you know, it's in the stores and all that, and I Google all every day, you know, to find new reviews of the record, because you know, I'm just curious about what people think. And Dustin, of course, he's sending us reviews more or less every 2 days or something. So yes, I remember your review. It's great. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate
it. You're very welcome. So it sounds like you've gotten some really positive feedback so far.
Yes. I mean, we are pretty lucky that, because our debut album was so well received and people loved that already. Of course, we had a little bit of pressure, but you know, I think we delivered, and when the first reviews, you know, were released here in Europe, I was pretty happy, or we were very happy to, you know, there were reviews that were like, okay, they did a great job on the debut record, but they did a better second record now than the previous one. So far so good, and especially the major European magazines, rock magazines, and also mainstream magazines, they really, really, you know, they love the record, and the sales are going strong over here. And you know, of course, we have to play at some point. I mean, if we want to come over sooner than later to the States, you know, doing a support tour with a bigger band in the States, and you know, to gain an audience, and then to come over there, you know, every 2 or 3 years. So that's our plan. You know, we try to find options and possibilities to do some shows as an opening act in the States. So, we hope to come over very soon. Yeah.
That's awesome. I was really kind of hoping to hear that, because my next question was, as far as touring goes, you said you got some definitely got some really good pub through the Hilton chain with the last record. So, you know, how hard is it for you guys to make it over? Is it easier for you just to do a festival, or do you think you could jump on a tour like with, you know, more established like Whitesnake or somebody like that?
Yeah, that's something we are looking at now. Our first plan for 2.0 now is to support a band like whatever you just said it over in Europe, all over Europe now. So that would be like 2 months or something, and that's what we are working at early 2016. It's nothing written in stone yet, but we are working on it, and the record label and the booking agency and stuff. So that's for Europe, but for America, we hope to come over with the third record, and that would be 2017. I think the album, the third record, is going to be released in spring 2017 or something. It sounds like, you know, it's so far away, but it's just 1.5 years. So we hope to come over with the third record and, you know, doing support shows for established, you know, rock acts in the States. I think it's I know that it's possible. We just have to find a good possibility, and, you know, that's what we are working on. Actually, we started songwriting for the third record yesterday, so we're already working on that. Yes.
Well, I got to ask you last question here. With all of the songs coming together so quickly on this record, how long did it actually take to write all the music and record 2.0?
Yeah, it's. I can tell you that we met for 4 songwriting sessions. So one session in 21 Octane Land is like 2 days. So we meet up, for example, on Monday and Tuesday, and then it was like the first songwriting session in August 2014 was it was like 2 days, and we were writing Devil in Disguise, Take Me Away, Lost, and The Circle. So we had 4 songs more or less done musically in 2 days, and then we met 1 month later in September, and we finished again 2 days, and we did Take Me Back, Fly With Me, and Date With Myself. So another 3 songs done. Then we went on tour with Uriah Heep in Europe, and then after that, in I think it was in December, we wrote Tale of a Broken Child and Love Is Just a Heartbreak Away. So the record was done musically in total 9 or 10 days musically.
That is crazy.
So,
man.
But, you know, over a period about, you know, over like 3 or 4 months. But we, you know, as I said before, we met 2 days in September, then we met 2 days in October, and then we met 2 days in November, and then December. But it was more or less like 8 or 10 days. And then Hagen, you know, he wrote the lyrics. He took all the demos home, and then he was working on the lyrics and the vocal melodies. And I think those were done in like 2 months. And then we started recording the drums in February. And the drums were recorded like in 3 days. And then I started, you know, recording the guitars, rhythm guitars. It was done in 4 days. And then it was bass in 2 days. And then vocals in, I think, 1 week or something. And lead guitars also 3 or 4 days. Yeah. So it was all very quick, and we had a bit of time pressure, but I think it's good to have some pressure sometimes to get the best out of you.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Well, Marco, before we let you go tonight, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Oh yeah, I can't wait to be back in the States. You know, I can't wait to play there with 21 Octane. You know, we have a lot of, you know, American influences in our sound and our music. You know, and we love the States, and we can't wait to be, you know, to play in Texas and anywhere else. And you know, I will be back in California at the NAMM show in January. So, you know, to have, you know, nice In-N-Out burger and Wendy's and stuff. You know, all the good stuff we don't have in Europe. So I can't wait to have proper burgers and stuff.
There you go, man. Yeah. Well, Marco, thank you for joining us here on the Genghis and Ragman show here on
It's been a pleasure.
It was an honor to talk to you, and we want to tell the fans to go out and get 21 Octane's 2.0 out now on AFM Records.
Yes. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks,
thank
Marco. Great talking to you, buddy.
Yes.
Into the Genghis and Ragman show. We hope you check out our website at therighttherock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our shows post on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review, tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show, and support good music wherever you find it by buying it from your favorite merchant. Which definitely includes the amazing Tracy G, we love you brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.